You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, the Binge Aftertaste.
So this is a military prison.
People too dangerous. There are too many secrets.
No one knows we're here.
You think your government cares about you? Open your eyes. Hold at the entry point and wait for my order to attack.
Looks like they've taken over the whole base.
So they're about to have control of a nuclear bomb.
What took you so long?
If we can pull this off, I guarantee every one of us will get a pardon.
I mean.
All right. I'm in.
About to get loud.
Find who's ever responsible.
Listen, if we want to have any chance of surviving this, we need to get our heads on straight and start working together.
Freeze!
This is turning into a suicide mission.
Six of you did all of this.
I'd say that was a checkmate, mate.
Good morning, you cocksuckers. You're probably wondering, why the hell is there a show being put out now that's not Alien? Don't you have Alien coming out this week? Answer to that is yes. I'm going to post the Alien retrospective tomorrow. But today, I wanted to give a little mini show. Well, I didn't want to. The bosses that be who run the site, I asked them, I said, well, I have this interview with this lovely lady, Terry Reeves, from a movie called Black Site Delta, which is the trailer you heard at the beginning of this podcast. And I asked both Law and Moreno, I said, so guys, I have this little interview that I did promoting this movie. Because, you know, doing these podcasts, I've learned very quick that it's good to have backup. When the indie retrospective took as long as it did to get going, I decided I might do a little backup plan each and every time just in case something like what happened with the indie retrospective came up. So I got an interview with lovely Terry Reeves, and I asked them, I said, so should I attach it to the beginning of the retrospective or should I make it a mini show? They said they want me to make it a mini show, which means more editing, more posting of shit. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, I'm excited to actually have this show because there are a couple things I wanted to say about few things I've been watching lately, and those cocksuckers won't have me on the regular binge cast. So I'll just record this little show, get my thoughts on a few things out there, as well as do my interview with Terry Reeves, and then call it a day. Like I said, it'll be a mini show, won't be too long. There are a couple things I definitely want to talk about, but before I get into that, there is a movie called Black Site Delta, which will be in theaters May 5th, and it will hit VOD and a lot of streaming services on May 9th. A little action flick. It's always good. And by the way, this is my first time since I've actually been doing these mini shows solo that I actually get to talk to a chick, and I am extremely excited about that. I won't lie. So without any further ado, I will get the star of Black Site Delta on to talk about it, and then I'll give my review of said movie and a few other things. So, here's Terry.
Hi, Garrett.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm fantastic. I am going to talk about the movie, but I have to ask real quick. I noticed you're a Bay Area girl.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Right? Originally from the Bay Area?
Originally from there, moved around the town, and then landed there. So, that's where I go back home for the holidays. That feels like home. Are you from there, too?
I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area, correct? I was from raised in Antioch, California.
Okay, cool. My family's up in Northern Marin, just before you hit wine country in Novato. I don't know if you know that town, but I love it up there. I miss it. Yeah, it's beautiful. The people are down to earth. Yeah.
All right. So I watched Black Site Delta before this morning, before I started. Yeah, of course. I come prepared. I do. The little action flick, reminded me a lot of like the Van Damme and Seagal movies I grew up on, which I loved.
Me too.
Explain how you got the role and what made you decide to take it.
So I got the role because the director, Jesse Gustafson, and I went to undergraduate school together. We went to theater school together. And he's directed me in this tiny play when I was 18. And he moved to town, L.A., recently, and had been doing short films, and this was his first feature. And so he reached out to me because he knows that I'm a martial artist, and he knows I can act. And he thought of me for the role, and we got together, and I read the script. So first of all, I would say yes to Jesse for anything, because I just love working with him. He's fantastic. But then I read the script, and I went, oh, heck yes. Because it's the kind of role I love, you know, a woman who's kicking butt, a strong female. So, yeah, it was a no-brainer for me.
No-brainer. I like the action in it. I like the prison setting in the beginning. Like, it was actually very, very, very entertaining. You are amongst a lot of dudes on this movie, though. What's it like being almost the only girl in an all boys club? Is that fun for you?
This boys club was fantastic. I had a blast. But they all just happen to be amazing humans and really talented actors. I'm used to kind of being the only girl in the room. Again, because I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and there's very few girls that want to put on, you know, a gi as a uniform and get to roll around on the ground and be with sweaty guys. So, but I don't know. I love it. they treat you with, the boys on this film treated me with the utmost respect. We hung out on and off set together. And it's just, they're just so much fun. And I can hang, right? I know what I'm doing. So it was a great time.
That's so awesome.
You can sort of feel a little bit special, right? Because you're the only female in the room. I mean, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be. That being said, I see your resume. You've done a lot of TV. You've done a few films. What do you prefer? Do you prefer doing TV or film?
That's a great question. I don't have a preference. I love them both. They're very different. TV is more fast-paced, and you're kind of, the shows I've done, they're well-oiled machines, and it's a huge crew, a huge production value, and you just kind of plug yourself in and go along for the ride, which is exciting, and it's quick, because, TV, they have deadlines, and so, again, that's exciting. You have no time to think, no time to second-guess yourself, but I love film, because you have time to prepare, and they're, the film I've done, I've been on location, and so it's like going away to acting camp with all of your acting buddies, and you get to just really know each other on a deeper level, and there's a trust that develops and a camaraderie that develops on films, and then you get to really sort of shape a character because you know the start, middle, and end of where they're going because you know the whole script, and I just I love that as well. I've been spoiled.
That's fantastic. You like I said, you've done TV, you've done film. Do you ever see yourself like maybe doing like a because I watching this movie, I got in mind. I would love to see you like in a Marvel movie or something in that in that vicinity. I think you would do really well. But do you ever see yourself being like a Scarlett Johansson, like a kick-ass, you know, in one of these movies, like leading one of these by yourself? Do you ever see yourself doing that?
I mean, you said the magic word. If I had a dream job, it would be on a Marvel film. That's Joss Whedon or J.J. Abrams, you know, at the helm and just going for it. I mean, that would be a dream, an absolute. And that's partly why I started training in my martial art, was just to sort of, if I wanted to play those roles, I had to learn in real life how to fight and defend myself. So one day, maybe. That's very sweet of you to say that. So thank you.
Yeah, I definitely got that in mind when I was watching. You trained for, did you want to be a stunt woman, or why exactly did you train jiu-jitsu? Just because you wanted, like, you didn't see enough female action roles out there, or what was the reason behind that?
Jiu-jitsu itself is the martial art I chose because it's actually, I don't know how much you know about it, but it's the best self-defense and art for females, because one of the, Elio Gracie, one of the guys that, you know, developed it, was this frail sort of guy that had trouble against larger opponents. And in real life, women, your opponent will often be larger than you, unfortunately. And so it's a martial art where you learn how to use their body weight against them and wait for them to make a mistake. And so it's all the grappling stuff where you do arm locks, ankle locks, choke holds. It's not punching and kicking. It's not using your strength. It's sort of using, it's like a chess match. So I was drawn to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for that particular reason. And then I had done boxing, and I trained with stunt guys just to have, you need to know how to punch and kick if you're going to do that on screen as well. And even on this film, we had special ops guys, real special ops guys, teaching us how to use the guns and the proper technique and all that sort of thing. And that's invaluable knowledge to have as a human, I think, just to be exposed to, you know, what people do and how real it feels when you have a weighty gun in your hand and how much that means. So I've gotten, you know, on the job training that way, and I've been lucky enough to do that. But Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, again, was because I'm a female, and I recommend it to all women who want to learn how to defend themselves and stay safe.
That's so awesome. It's funny that you mentioned the arm lock. Like your very first scene in the movie is you doing like an arm takedown. Like, the chick scares you up, right? So you've done a lot of. Go ahead.
I'm just going with you.
Okay. Now you've done a lot of action. Do you ever see yourself doing, like, because you've also done movies, you've also done TV shows like Once Upon a Time. Do you ever see yourself maybe doing, like, going from action to maybe, like a romantic comedy, or like, do you ever think about any of that, or you just kind of just, like, you just kind of stay focused? Okay, I want to do action movies, and that's it.
Well, the truth for most actors is we like to play all kinds of parts, and that's definitely true for me. And what's funny is I started in the TV world. I mean, I come from theater, so I've done all kinds of crazy parts, but in TV, I always made this joke with my family. I was the girl that either died or cried. I played a lot of victim roles and a lot of sort of, there's a lot of vulnerability in my performances that was required of me. And I loved that. And I think comedy, I haven't gotten to do as much. I've done sort of, I did a web series called Battleground that was a single cam comedy, and that was one of the best experiences I've ever had on a set. I mean, you just get to have fun all day. So, you know, of course I would love to do other things besides action. I just, I had to get out of the girl that died and cried mode. And so I had to consciously look for roles that were the stronger female stuff for a while. And I've been lucky enough to get to do some of them.
Yeah, don't forget, Sharon Stone did those kinds of roles until she was almost 40, and then, you know, then Total Recall came around. So, you know, you got a little leg up on that. Yeah, she's done just fine for herself. You got a little leg up on that, I think. I do have to ask you, because one of my friends, she would kill me if I didn't. How do you like doing a Chicago Fire?
Oh gosh, I loved it. Those people were so great. I got to live in Chicago, which is a fantastic city. And then, you know, you're surrounded by a bunch of gorgeous people saving the day. Uh-huh. I mean, that's, you know, great. And then they had real firefighters and real police officers on set sort of teaching us about what their real life is like. And I love learning and being exposed to other jobs and what people do for during their day. And they're real heroes. And so it felt important to be a part of something where real heroes were influencing the script and storyline. So I don't know. I loved every minute of it.
It's one of her favorite shows, and I watched a couple episodes. It's actually a lot. I definitely want to go back. I want to watch the entire series because I've only seen like two episodes out of order, and you know how that is when it comes to TV. But you are, looking at you in the movie, I recognized you from the show, and I'm like, you're actually really good on that show too. So I'm just thinking, wow, I definitely want to check out the show. It looks fantastic, and I'm supposed to go to Chicago here in the next few weeks, so it's, I definitely
want to. Oh, you are? Oh, have a blast!
Yeah.
Go see some beer,
I'm going.
Drink lots of beer. If you drink beer.
I can't point, Pete.
Go to the Wrigley Field.
Yeah. I shall. Are you filming there now, or are you doing Chicago Fire now, or?
Oh, no. Go back to the first season, and you'll see what happens.
Okay. Sounds good.
I won't give you the real spoilers.
All right, I appreciate it, because I hate spoilers, and I would hang up right away. No, I'm just kidding. The movie is called Black Site Delta. It is in theaters May 5th, and it'll be on demand and iTunes May 9th. Terry, it has been a pleasure talking to you. Would you,
You as well, Gary. Thank you.
Next time you do a movie or something, get in touch. I'd like to interview you again. I have a lot more things I want to ask.
Absolutely. I'd love that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care, okay?
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye, Garrett.
Bye.
All right, bitches. That was Terry Reeves, star of Black Site Delta. Such a great gal. She's so sweet. And it was kind of cool that, you know, she's from kind of my neck in the woods, not really, but and San Francisco Bay Area is just so fucking big anyway. It was nice to get to talk to her about that and her movie, and I'm excited to see where her career takes her, because again, like I told her, I could definitely see her in a Marvel picture. She's definitely pretty enough to be in, you know, any other romantic comedy she could be in or whatever she wants to do, and plus she kicks ass. So you know, I could definitely see her in a movie like Salt or Lucy, these types of films. She definitely has that range. So I would definitely, let's put it this way, I would definitely believe her over Scarlett Johansson in Ghost in the Shell. All right, as for the movie she was in, Black Site Delta, I kind of outlined in our interview that, you know, I thought it was a fun romp. I mean, it's nothing we haven't seen before. It literally looks like it was something that was taken straight from a 1980s and 90s Bruce Willis / Jean-Claude Van Damme / Steven Seagal script. It just has that feel. It definitely has its fun parts. A little bit hampered by the budget. I think with a bigger budget, this thing could have been a more fun time than it is. Let's put it that way. As they have it now, the production values are fine. There are a couple great explosions. It's not great, though. A few of the actors in it are limited at best. You know, it's less than 90 minutes. It's a fun enough time. It's a six. It's definitely, you know, it's got its good moments in it. And I would recommend the Black Site Delta if you're looking for just 90 minutes to kill some time. And it's got, I know I'm going to butcher this dude's name, Cam Gigandet. He was in The Magnificent Seven last year. He's been a few things. Of course, he was in Twilight and Easy A, and you know, he's done a few things. You know, he's fine. He's a lead action hero. He has a little bit of charisma, which I can go with. And pretty much what this movie pretty much consists of. So these prisoners from the military, there's a terrorist attack, and pretty much what happens is they fight off this attack, and of course there's so much more going on than meets the eye, because the attack is a cover-up for a secret drone control facility. Again, less than 90 minutes. It has some pretty decent action. You know, it's not going to blow the doors off your hand, off anything. You know, it's not going to set the world on fire or anything, but there are definitely worse ways to spend the time. It's a decent little romp. So thank you, Terry, and thanks to the people who allowed me to see Black Site Delta. All right, what else did I see this week? There are a few things I watched. Let's see, do I talk about the movie I watched first, or do I talk about the TV show? I'll talk about the movie since I just spoke about movies. So there's been a lot of hype around a little movie released this year called Get Out. I remember the advertising for this movie was, I mean, I remember when I see the advertising, I said, from Jordan Peele? What? Blumhouse? What? I'll admit, I've never seen a Key and Peele show in my life. I did see Keanu, which I thought was abysmal. And I'm thinking, this is the guy who's making a new horror film coming out this year? And then this thing got released, and it was one of those few movies, man. I had no interest in seeing it. At least seeing it, like, I didn't, it's not one of those movies where I would be excited to say, yeah, I saw this before everybody, you know. I didn't have that in mind. And this thing came out, and people just loved it. And saying it's the best horror film I've seen in years, and Jordan Peele has a real future in the genre if he really wants to go that route. It was interesting to me. It was appealing to me. I was interested to see the film after hearing this, and I watched it last night. How do I feel about it? Let's put it this way. I listened to the BingeCast this last week, and I am pretty much on the same wavelength as Nate Peterson. I think the hype for it is way too much. I think it asks a lot of questions that kind of takes the short route of answering, if that makes any sense. What I mean by that is the hypnotizing aspect of it was, it felt, as Moreno said, a little easy. And then I thought the buildup to it, I thought the interesting thing about all the racial relations and things within this family, it was just intriguing as hell. And I'm finding that with a lot of Blumhouse pictures. It's like they did the same thing with The Invitation. They did the same thing with The Gift. They have a lot of great buildup to these situations. But I feel by the time the final leg of the film happens, you don't really give a shit. The end of this thing, for all its buildup and all its feeling of something that says something about society and the horrors that come with, you know, the horrors would come with, I can imagine being a black man who is with a white girl, especially a girl from a family like this, would be intimidating as hell. I thought that was just an I had no idea about that plot when I watched this film. None. The only thing I really knew about it was I saw a few postings about it in the Binge Fantasy League group, and I saw the picture of the lead actor crying that's been in pretty much all the ads. Other than that, I didn't know a fucking thing. So when I saw the plot kind of develop, and I saw the way this family was reacting to him, and I saw the way things were going on with him, and I saw the way Catherine Keener was just, she's just so bizarrely, I don't want to say hammy because she's not, but she kind of borders on that at points. I thought all of that was intriguing. But then it just gets into the typical horror tropes at the end where he's going from room to room. He's got to kill certain people in these rooms. And it's nothing we haven't seen in any Saw film. Like, there's stomping of faces and all this. I'm not squeamish or anything, but I'm just like, this is shit we've seen before. How are you going to pay it off like this? The one thing I really dug about it, and it actually has kind of stuck with me, and it's kind of raising my rating up a little bit, is I loved how, and this is a spoiler for people who haven't seen this yet, I loved how the girlfriend was a part of it. And that reveal of her just being with boyfriend after boyfriend after boyfriend of color, and them turning into servants. I thought all that was awesome. After initially watching it, I was like, it was okay. But it's just one of those movies that kind of stays with you. And if you think about it, it unnerves you, especially the way this girl plays into the final act of the film. It was mind-boggling to me. It was better than average. When I first saw this movie, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a 6. But the more I thought about it, I was like, it's almost a 7. I'm gonna go soft 7. Pretty good watch. And just the last leg of it, the last, you know, what's it, 20 or so minutes of it, it's nothing you haven't seen in a horror film before. But other than that, it was pretty damn awesome. I definitely recommend checking it out. It, for a movie from somebody who I had no interest in seeing anything from anyway, it definitely hit a spot with me that I didn't think could happen. So kudos to Jordan Peele. It was highly successful, and apparently he's going to be making more of these, and you know, he's going to be in the genre a little bit more. Hell, for all I know, they could give him like a Saw movie or something. I mean, with the way this thing's taken off like gangbusters, who knows? We could be looking at the guy who's doing the new Halloween. Sky's the limit for him, and I'm actually happy for him. I'm happy that a horror film got as much hype as this thing did and did as well as it did. That's a good thing for the genre, a genre I completely love. Okay, one other movie I did want to talk about. I watched it was a blind buy. I bought The Founder. It's kind of sitting on the shelf. Yes, I still buy hard media. Not everything's digital with me. I still buy some hard media when I'm in Walmart and I'm looking. Yes, Emo Kev, I said Walmart. One of these days I'll probably get to yours. And I'm kind of shopping and I'm looking around. It's like, let me go see the movie section. And The Founder was kind of sitting there looking at me, and I'd heard some pretty good things about it. And some of it from people on this very channel. I believe Jack Valley episode 4, Jack Off, whatever the fuck he wants to be called this week. I believe he gave it a pretty decent review. And so picked it up and brought it home and put it on. And this was done by the guy who did The Blind Side. So I was expecting a complete sugar coating of things that aren't exactly happening the way it's being shown as happening, and I was expecting a movie that who the hell wants to see a movie about McDonald's for 2 hours? I mean, what the fuck is that? But here's the thing about this movie. There's a connection to this movie, personal connection, that I have to talk about. The Big M, the restaurant that is mentioned in this movie that was converted to McDonald's, the very first McDonald's in history in San Bernardino, California, was actually worked at by my dad. My dad was a worker there when this thing opened. And he flipped burgers, and it was a job for him. And, you know, I saw the way they showed them in front of the restaurant a few times, especially at the end of the film. We see, you know, Keaton's character, Croc, he actually walks through it a couple times, and I'm watching him going, oh, I wonder if he walked through like when my dad was working. He probably did. Yeah, so there's a personal connection to this movie for me. Not that it makes me like McDonald's eating more or less. It's just I have a connection to it. This is a fantastic movie. I love The Founder. I really dug Nick Offerman, who's a character actor, who's a comedian that I don't really find that funny. Sometimes he's funny in interviews, but I don't really like the characters he plays because he's so one note, I think. He is phenomenal in this movie. I found Michael Keaton to be incredibly engaging. The character seems like, if it wasn't being played by Michael Keaton, this guy would be just, I would hate him. Hate him. As it is, I don't really like him. John Lee Hancock, the director of this film, he paints him out to be the asshole that he pretty much is, but Michael Keaton plays him so engagingly. He's cheating on Laura Dern, his wife. He's doing just things behind this things behind these guys' backs. These two partners that he has, one of them Nick Offerman, that are just skeezy as fuck. But I still like the guy. That says a lot. That says a lot about the writing. That says a lot about the performances. Definitely a film I would highly recommend. It's an interesting look at an industry that is thriving now, but back then it was innovative to do the things this guy does. You know, there's a plot point of the girl that he eventually ends up marrying after he divorces Laura Dern. You know, she's introducing him to powdered milkshakes, And he goes ahead and, you know, he decides to try it. And the partners are like, what do you mean you're doing powdered milkshakes? You know, that stuff was interesting to me. I found this movie an incredibly engaging watch. Keeps you really, really entertained. You know, there's some funny parts of it, but it's mostly a drama. And Keaton's just fantastic in it. The Founder's a solid 8 for me. 8.5. 8.5. I find if it's an over an 8, then it's definitely rewatchable. I would definitely rewatch this again. I'd definitely watch this again. It's that good. All right. Those are two movies I want to talk about. I did want to talk about one TV show, a show that I'm not really hearing mentioned on the BingeCast, if at all, honestly. And there might be a reason for that, but it's a little TV show called 13 Reasons Why. This is a show that I'd heard a little bit about. A really good friend of mine in the industry, she watched it, and she told me, she said, you know, it just hit me in spots that it's so hard to watch at times, that, but I couldn't take my eyes off it, and it hits a lot of spots that somebody who has had thoughts of suicide, it hits a lot of those sore spots that you feel when you're feeling like committing suicide. And for those who haven't seen this movie or heard anything about it, especially on our fucking show, because nobody on this goddamn channel has watched it, basically, a girl, the main character in the movie, commits suicide. When she commits suicide, she left behind 13 tapes. 13 tapes to 13 different people, detailing 13 reasons why she did what she did. And her best friend, a guy who she worked at a movie theater with, you know, this is about him finding those tapes and him listening to each and every one. And so there are a lot of flashbacks. Knowing the end result of what this girl goes through is makes this each and every episode hit that much harder for me. I said in one comment on in the Binge Fantasy League, I said this may be my Breaking Bad, and that's not an overstatement. This TV show is just, it hits me so hard on so many levels. You know, and I'm in my late 30s, right? But all of us have been teenagers. Watching what this girl goes through. And again, this is, it's not like, you know, she has a broken family or anything. She doesn't. She's got a family who loves her. Her mom, played by a gal from Grey's Anatomy, she you know, she is loved by her parents. It's not like she comes from a broken home or anything, but it's what this show is basically about is how high school can be fucked up in every which way, and how each and everything you do to somebody, people say all the time, I heard it when I was in high school. It's like, oh, you got to go through that. You know, every person has to go through this in order to grow up. Well, no, because each and every person takes certain things in a different way. And there are things about this show, the way she's exposed as, you know, she had sex in the playground, the way her and her best friend are now lesbians for some reason, her and her friend in one of her classes are lesbians, and how that affects her. Each and every one of these episodes, I'm not going to give too much away, that's all I'm going to say, but each and every one of these episodes, just, it's got something, all of them have something about them that after the show was over and the credits rolled, I just kind of let the credits roll. I didn't even hit fast forward because you have to take it in. I don't know. I don't know why this show is affecting me the way it is. It has been detailed on the Binge Airways that I have interesting tastes anyway. My tastes have been very, very different, shall we say. And I don't mean for them to. I just, everybody likes what they like. I'm sorry I didn't like Deadpool. I'm sorry I didn't like Logan. I don't do it just to do it. I don't do it just to stick out, quote unquote. I don't do it for attention. Something's just hit me differently. And this show, 13 Reasons Why, is one of those things. I would highly recommend this to anybody. In fact, another connection I have, a good friend of mine is a suicide hotline operator. And it was recommended to her by her boss that all of them watch this TV show, because it gives you signs that, you know, what the person on the other end, if they're either dead serious about it or if they're just doing it for attention or if it's a prank. All of these signs are pretty much detailed in this show. And she was told to watch it for work purposes. And she said she got done watching it and she cried and cried. And, you know, but it helped her. It helped her understand teenagers because she's, you know, she's about around my age. And now she feels like she kind of understands teenagers. And I think the show is important in that way. There is a controversy in the show. In fact, one of my good friends, she tells me, she says, I refuse to watch that show because it glorifies suicide. I got news for you. It doesn't glorify suicide. What it does is it puts a mirror to each and every one of us who has ever put somebody down for the way they look, the way they eat, the way they carry themselves. It just points a mirror at it saying, this is how you're affecting these people. You never know what trigger you're going to hit. And I think that's important. And the friend who is at the suicide operating, she had a good point to me. She told me, she said, you know, what they should do is they really do need to put a preamble before each show detailing, you know, a suicide hotline or something that teenagers who see this show can call in case they're feeling like that's the answer. And I guess her company and a whole bunch of other companies wrote to Netflix detailing just that. And as of this week, I saw an article in the newspaper saying, yes, they are in fact putting a preamble that has a suicide hotline before it, which is good. Either before it or after, I'm not sure. I haven't watched it since. But I think all this is good. And I think this is a show that's important. I think it's a show that, you know, I am going to say it entertains. You know, there are funny parts of it. But I definitely think, especially all those listeners who have little girls, you know, daughters, or somebody who's about to be a teenager, highly recommended for you as well. This show, it's can't miss TV in my eyes. There hasn't been a show that's engaged me like this in quite a while. So please check out 13 Reasons Why. And you fucking assholes at the BingeCast, you goddamn cocksuckers, have me on so I can actually talk about this show. Fucking dicks. All right, that does it for this mini show. Gearing you up for the Alien retrospective, which we'll post tomorrow. Thank you so much to Terry Reeves for talking to me. The movie is Black Site Delta. I really have to talk to those people about that title. It's not an easy title to remember. I've had to pause this podcast like 3 times just to remember it. And I watched it and, you know, interviewed an actress from it. And I still have trouble with the title. Work on your titles, people. All right. Black Site Delta. It is available. It will be in select theaters May 5th and then hit video on demand and iTunes on May 9th. So please keep your eyes open for that. Another congratulations are going to be sent. I'm going to say congratulations to the guy who I just fucking ripped on earlier in this podcast, Mr. Episode 4, Jack Valley. I guess he graduated college finally this week. Great accomplishment for him. That I'm very happy for him. Also, as of May 2nd, Refuge is available on demand, and on May 9th it'll be available on Amazon, iTunes, PlayStation Networks, Google Play, every single streaming site you can think of. We got a great distribution deal. We are so excited that people are actually getting to see it. If you have AT&T service, hang tight. We're working on a deal with AT&T and Comcast as well. But Refuge is finally out for the world to see. And that's a whole nother show, which I want to talk to the boys about maybe doing. All right, Alien retrospective tomorrow. Please be sure to download that show. That show's going to be... I loved the discussions we had about Alien and Aliens. I thought they were great discussions. I thought they were, you know, if I could be so bold, I thought they were entertaining. I thought we delved into a lot of the themes of the movies, and it was awesome hearing Moreno pretty much watch these movies, well, the second one at least, for the very first time, and how his thoughts were on it. The Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection podcast is ridiculous, and I mean that in the best way possible. I've had a lot of fun editing the show. You know, this is kind of a preamble for that. So keep your eye open. It's gonna be amazing. So all right, dickheads, that's all I have to say. Thanks again to everybody who listens, and hang tight. Alien coming in tomorrow. And by the way, one more thing before I go. So Nate asked Moreno. He asked him. He said, "So is this gonna cap off in a review of Alien Covenant: Final Garrett? That's what it's gonna be." What's Moreno say? No, it's not gonna be. You fucking dick. The reason I started this fucking retrospective is because it's capping off with a review of Covenant. Why would I do this without a review of fucking Covenant? So next week it's going to be two quote-unquote versus movies, which I never thought I'd see again. And then the week after that will be Prometheus and, yes, Alien Covenant. So fuck you, Moreno, for not knowing or understanding why we started this thing to begin with. All right, fuckers. That's all I have to say. Peace.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at bingemedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at bingemedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob Odenkirk.